Wednesday, April 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. NOAA's Climate Prediction Center released its two-week forecast. With the exception of the Lake States, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, most of the Plain States and virtually entire Corn Belt, Mid-South, Delta, and Southeast is expected to see cooler than normal temperatures through next week. As for precipitation, the Corn Belt and Mid-South forecast to be drier than normal, while the Delta and Southeast trend wetter than normal. The weekly crop progress report showed corn only 2% planted and nearly all of that in Texas. That should pick up rapidly in coming weeks, and when corn goes in fast and early, we often see acreage creep higher than indicated in prospective plantings. Ironically, that historical trend may not hold true this year. With new crop beans so strong, producers may be more prone to sticking with corn plans and switching to soybeans early to capture some lingering old crop premiums and strong basis on skin-tight end-of-season supplies. We're not talking about any major shift, of course. A survey of farmers taken by Farm Journal just ahead of the prospective plans report showed 68% of respondents would not change their currently planned acreage mix, no matter what the report said or market reaction. The breakout among the 32% of respondents who said that their acreage could change showed 7% said half or more of planned acreage could switch, 9% said between 15 and 50%, 10% said between 5 and 15%, and 6% said only 5% might shift to a different crop. Furthermore, the switching isn't confined to corn and soybeans. USDA Secretary Seth Myers told Farm Journal that exceptionally strong sorghum prices in the Plain States could lead to that crop gaining acreage in the June acreage report, and we agree. Sorghum could well be the choice for an iffy-looking wheat in the central and southern plains due to the dry conditions and the fact that sorghum handles dry conditions better than beans or corn. Getting back to the short-term outlook, we would not expect much further selling as we approach Friday's April WASDE report, where corn ending stocks are expected to tighten further on higher feed use estimates stemming from those lower-than-expected March 1st stocks. While March 1st soybean stocks were higher than expected, there's a good chance that there could be more than offset by increased estimates for crush and exports, leading to an even further tightening in ending stocks. In wheat, traders apparently found USDA's first of the season crop condition ratings for winter wheat cause for selling, because while they weren't as good as last year ratings for the 2020 crop, they were improved from the ratings going in dormancy with USDA's final report in late November. Spring wheat avoided the selling. The same 8 to 14-day forecast from NOAA was supportive for spring wheat because much of the northern plains already bone dry and expected to remain drier than normal through next week. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. On the hogs. The lean hog complex saw some bear spreading, which can't be too surprising after a steady stream of new contract highs. Even bull markets have to pause for a breather once in a while, but the fundamentals are solid. We're going to see slaughter decline in second quarter. Reports of new African swine fever outbreaks in China are rampant, with herd losses ranging from as little as 10% to more than 25%. It's not all smoke either. We're seeing reliable sources reporting that soybean meal use in China is off 25%, and the most likely reason for that is fewer than expected porcine mouths to feed. There are others, however, who are wondering how hog supplies can be dwindling, with Chinese pig prices still trending lower. One possible explanation, producers may be marketing hogs at lighter weights in areas adjacent to the African swine fever outbreaks for fear of forced liquidation to stem the spread. If that's the case, they could be getting more than current on marketings and setting up a hole in pork supplies. That tells us Chinese demand for imported pork is likely to continue strong for the foreseeable future. Already suffering credibility problems traced back to the Wuhan virus, Beijing cannot afford to let a staple like pork get scarce and pricey. On cattle, beef prices continue rising. Now we're headed into a seasonally strong period of demand. The summer may well prove stronger than normal for consumers who spent the winter in near solitary confinement and are craving some semblance of normality with grilling season and backyard feasts. Feeder cattle are tagging along with gains in Fed so far, but on daily, weekly, and monthly charts, feeder futures are up against overhead resistance and have the added drag of pricey feed. It takes exceptionally strong Fed prices to sustain gains in feeder cattle when feed costs are rising, so that's a caution flag for feeder sellers. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, contact us at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.